Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah. At some point where the game looked like we had a big lead and everything was going our way.
We had a 14-point lead, or thanks to the defense.
All right. Okay, I can't stand that anymore. Stop that music. Stop the music. Let's bring on Scott Fetrick of the Chronicle Telegraph to join us. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you guys?
Kind of okay. I don't know. I don't know where to go with this other than our hopes are dashed. I don't know what to say. I mean, give us something positive.
Can you? Positive?
I'm trying to be positive.
Why would you be looking
Monday?
For something positive? They don't know who's going to play quarterback, and they just blew their best chance in about 7 years to really make a run at the playoffs. So the defense played well most of the game, but and then gave up the losing drive at the end. So there's not a whole lot of positive to take.
That's right.
You know, Scott, I was curious. I'm listening to the broadcast yesterday, and it's something you bring up in your column today. Josh Gordon was not a factor. Was his head in the game? I noticed that Coach Pettine was, or somebody, Kyle Shanahan, was taking him out of the game on third down.
Yeah, that made no sense to me at all. You know, I asked Pettine about it after the game, or somebody did, and he said because part of the plan was to reduce Gordon's reps. They felt that, you know, he had only been back for two games. This is his third game, that they'd been giving him too much, and they wanted to kind of even things out among the receivers. Well, first of all, I find that, I don't know, stupid, because he's your best receiver, and the best receivers in the league are on the field almost 100% of the time, if not 100% of the time. Gordon was like that last year, so he's used to it. He should be fresh coming off the suspension. And on top of that, if you're going to reduce his reps, I don't understand why it would be on third down. So you lost Miles Austin last week with that lacerated kidney. He was a real good third down option for Brian Hoyer. So now you have Taylor Gabriel and Andrew Hawkins to Travis Benjamin, three tiny receivers. I think they're limited in the routes they can run. And you take Josh Gordon, the most skilled player probably on the team, who's also 6'3 and 230. So he gives you different options in the passing game. And you take him off the field for most of third downs. It just didn't make any sense to me.
We're still only kind of a game and a half back. How about that for some positivity on the
season? Well, there's only three left in the season. So it's going to be tough. I mean, obviously, the playoffs aren't out of the question yet. If they win the last three games and get to 10 wins, there's a chance. If that happens, they would have beaten Cincinnati, which so they'd move a half game. You know, they'd be within a half game of Cincinnati. They beat Baltimore in the last game of the year. They can't do anything about Pittsburgh. But, you know, if they get to 10 wins, it would be a great season and they'd have a chance at the playoffs. But you'd have to make the argument that what makes you think they'll get to 10 wins when they've lost two straight, three of four, their quarterback played poorly for 4 weeks in a row, and it looks like the coaching staff doesn't have any confidence in Johnny Manziel or else they would have gone to him already.
It's hard to believe no confidence. There must be, is that as simple as it seems? No confidence?
Well, confidence, trust, I think those are the words. Now, we could get Mike Pettine today could say, I'm going to Johnny for the last two games. That's entirely possible he could say today when we talk to him at about 4 o'clock. He could wait and say Wednesday. I get why he stayed with Brian Hoyer to start the Indianapolis game. It made sense to me. I don't think it was an easy decision, but it made sense. He'd won you 10 games over the last year plus. I believe he had the support of the locker room. It made sense to me. What didn't make sense was not having a quick hook if Hoyer struggled. And I can also understand Pettine. You know, Brian made one good drive at the end of the second quarter, you know, to score a touchdown. The Browns had the lead. And they never lost the lead until 32 seconds left in the game. So why would you yank your starting quarterback when you're leading the game? I get that. But Mike Pettine also said he never considered going to Johnny. It just seems like maybe Johnny doesn't have the grasp of the playbook that he needs. Maybe they're upset with his off-the-field things. You know, they've been going on since the night he was drafted. Maybe they're trying to send a message to Johnny, you can't be our starting quarterback if you're not fully engaged and fully prepared. That's all speculation, but I think you can connect some dots and say, you know, they're not ready to go to Johnny when Brian Hoyer's playing a almost historically bad stretch of football. That has to say something about Johnny Manziel.
Well, you're almost, and also in a way, you're saying the defense is what kept him in the game. I mean, we sort of know that, but if the defense wasn't scoring those touchdowns, would there have been a change, or you think it would have still been the same?
I mean, I think there would have been a greater chance of a change. I think you would have heard more boos and screaming from the crowd. The fact is, the defense scored two touchdowns. They outscored Brian Hoyer in the offense. They played great until the last drive. You know, they came so close. You know, it's 3rd and 7 from Indianapolis' 13-yard line to start that last drive. And some receiver named Moncrief makes a diving catch to extend that drive. If not, the Colts would have had to punt. Then Buster Screen gets what he thought was a bad pass interference call. I thought it was a good call. But even then, the Browns have 4th and 1. Indy's facing 4th and 1 at the 3-yard line. They initially have the run stopped, and the guy spins away from Dante Whitner. Any of those plays go the Browns' way, including two balls to Josh Gordon that he was not able to come up with, and the Browns walk away a winner in a game that they shouldn't have won, but they would have had the win. They would have been the 8. They would have been right in the thick of the playoff chase. It's just really a crushing loss.
And it, you know, make a field goal, and then we're not having this conversation either. So you've got that
part of it, too.
Yeah,
you can say, and obviously, Billy Cundy needs to make field goals, and he's missed 1 in 5 straight games. And if they don't make a move this week, I expect them to make a move after the season, and they're going to be looking for another kicker. So it's a big play in the game. I don't know if you can point to 3 points in the second quarter and say that wound up making a difference. But you never know. Indianapolis went for 2-point conversions, which they might not have done.
True.
I don't think you can point to that play by itself and say that changed.
All right, so the Bengals are on the horizon again. It's almost like last time, you know, when we were kind of goading into this Bengals game that's coming up. A little different circumstances, obviously, the way things have gone on. But what can you give us any insight into what you think is going to go on next Sunday?
Well, you know, I mean, Andy Dalton played just terrible the last time the Browns played Cincinnati down there. He had a 2.0 quarterback rating. You expect he'll play better, right? He can't play any worse. It's a huge game for Cincinnati. They only have a half-game lead on Pittsburgh and Baltimore. They're going to play Pittsburgh again. So Cincinnati can't afford to lose. You know, if they lose 2 of the final 3, they probably miss out on the playoffs. So it's a big game for Cincinnati. It'll be a big game for the Browns. You might see Johnny Manziel make his first start. Cincinnati's coming off a bad loss to Pittsburgh at home yesterday. So, you know, when you get to this point in the season and the games are still relevant for both sides, there's so much on the line that there's a lot of anticipation going into that game. And the Bengals' rookie running back, Jeremy Hill, who was stuffed by the Browns in the first game, afterward right away said, yeah, the Browns aren't any good. They're the same team we thought they were. You know, wait till we see them again. So there's a little, back and forth trash talk that I'm sure we'll see
right
this week.
Well, we get that anyway with the interstate rivals, the Bengals as well, from our history with that team down south there. But, again, the Bengals and the Browns next Sunday. We'll talk to you again on Monday, Scott. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, guys.